specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Mine safety officials listen and ask questions of miners, their families, and others about the Sego coal mine disaster. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula joins us now live. Jim, it does sound like an emotional day.
Harley, at times the exchanges have gotten testy here. Family members of the 12 men who died in the Sego explosion 4 months ago have questioned safety equipment, querying the mine owners, including CEO Ben Hatfield.
We can do better. The industry can do better. That technology hasn't advanced in over a decade, and I fully believe that as a result of what we've learned in this tragic accident, that it will improve.
Family members have passionately urged industry regulators and lawmakers to improve mine safety. Live in Buchanan, West Virginia, I'm Jim Crisula, CBS News.
A search for terrorist leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi intensifies in Iraq with an elite task force of American and British commandos on a nightly search for him. Many of his top people have been found, some killed, some captured. 7 members of Delta Force have died in the search, and the commander is sending for some help from the 82nd Airborne. The Bush administration is raising international pressure for action to stop the fighting in Darfur in Sudan.
President Bush has used a call to the president of Sudan to emphasize that the U.S. sees ending the Darfur conflict as a high priority. The administration's pulling out all the diplomatic stops. It's working for an agreement to end the bloodshed. The main proposal would see a U.N. peacekeeping force backed by NATO. But the White House says there are still key differences over disarming the militias in Darfur.
CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer is at the White House. Next time there's a hurricane in New Orleans, Mayor Ray Nagin says they'll use the buses and trains to move people out of town before the city floods.
These levees are going to be very, very secure, and we should be positioned better and not have the catastrophic flooding that we've had in the past.
Nagin unveiled the new emergency plan for New Orleans just in case nature kicks a hole in the levees anyway. We're a pretty sick country when you stop and think about it. Researchers have been comparing Americans to the British, and we are sicker than they are, says RAND Corporation's Jim Smith.
The problem in the United States is why we get sick so much, and understanding better why it is we're getting ourselves in the situation where we are getting sick. And I don't think the medical care system has a lot to do with that.
Smith says America's wealthy adults were in worse shape than Britain's poor, medically speaking. Police in Winter Springs, Florida, say they knew they had a serious situation on their hands when the high school kids told them they took the limo driver's keys away from her. She was that drunk. That was a year ago, after the school prom. Christina Tomaselli will have to go to jail for 10 days, pay a $500 fine. She faces 12 months probation, and she's lost her license for a year. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 73 points to close at 11,416. The Nasdaq picked up 5. Oil prices, $74.61 a barrel, up 91 cents. This is CBS News.
If your sinus congestion comes with pain, it's time to clear something up about sinus medicine. Some sinus medicines treat congestion, but not pain. New Tylenol Sinus is different. It gives more complete relief by combining the pure pain relief of Tylenol with powerful sinus medicine. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Sinus. Take only as directed.
Every day, millions of people go to Match.com. So many of them find love, get married, and raise families. So, is online dating for you? Now, Match.com has created a new starter kit so you can find out. And for a limited time, it's free for everyone who visits Match.com. Online dating is a great way to meet someone these days. Get going with our new starter kit. Yours free. Only at Match.com, the number one site for love.
K Kids playing with matches sometimes make a mess of things. CBS News correspondent Peter King with an unusual punishment for three young people accused of setting a brush fire.
The three are basically under house arrest. Judges told them to stay inside their homes until they're arraigned on May 23rd. They're only allowed outside to go to school. Two boys, aged 10 and 12, and a 14-year-old girl are accused of starting the fire that destroyed 16 homes. 19 more were damaged, and some 2,000 acres were scorched.
All that near Orlando. Your keyboard is a lunch counter for germs, especially at work. If several people use the keyboard, several people leave their germs there, and those germs get along just fine. The microwave oven, elevator buttons, door handles, even the office water fountain handles are cleaner than the keyboard. The telephone and the kitchen sink are also high on the germy list. That study comes from a microbiologist at the University of Arizona, Charles Gerba, who washes his hands a lot. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Gomez to serve.
Yeah, he's got the fastest serve in tennis.
Oh! Yeah, looks like we've lost another line, Judge.
Speed isn't worth much without accuracy. Something to keep in mind when shopping for car insurance, too. With Progressive Direct, you can be sure you're getting a quote that's accurate, not to mention fast. In fact, you should be done in about 8 minutes. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Smithfield Village, Ohio.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show from the left coast.
First they went and stole the election. The Supreme Court made the selection. The corporations gave the direction. They said Bush it. He went and hired his daddy's staff and a few guys from Nixon's just for a laugh. Now the world is his oyster, split in half. Push it. Though he'd never been to a foreign land, had a map of the world he'd never understand. Right up his back went the puppeteer's hand. Push it. Push it. The old president's son. Push it. That's the way it's done. All of your friends, who knows where this whole thing's gonna end?
I am Peter B. Collins, and I'm glad you're listening. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. We are live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. We are also on KPHX 1480 in Phoenix in the nighttime. And at this very moment, listeners in Sacramento, California on 1240 Talk City, I believe, are finally getting to hear the Peter B. Collins Show. We've been through some technical adjustments, and I think it's all working. And if so, I want to welcome people in California's capital city to the Peter B. Collins Show. And you may say, well, who is that guy, and where did he come from? Well, I'll tell you this much. I've been in radio for a long time. I love talk radio. I love politics and issues, and I devote the human ram that most people give to sports and movies, to politics, news, and current events. That's what I love to talk about. And we do it here every day for 3 hours, originating on the California coast. And we are oozing into different cities around the country. Excited about the growth into Sacramento. And if you want more information, go to the website peterbcollins.com. There's a picture of your humble host, a bio, and also links to our live daily stream, 3 to 6 p.m. in the afternoon. That's Pacific time. And you can also access our archives and podcasts at whiterosesociety.org. It's all at our website at peterbcollins.com. And you're always invited to call into our program, again, during our live origination, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific. On the Central Coast, we have a local number at 831-899-5792. And if you're listening anywhere else, you can call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. You dial 1, then 38-579-2540.
2540. On today's show, in just a few moments, we'll be joined by our House counsel. She is Marjorie Cohn, professor of constitutional law at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. We're going to talk about the Moussaoui case, now in its sixth day, the jury deliberating, and no verdict, rumblings in sight. Also this hour, we're going to take a look at packing the courts, Republican style. There's a powerful article in the new issue of Mother Jones magazine called The Bible Bench, and we're going to talk to Jesse Rutledge. He's communications director at Justice at Stake, and they are working for balanced appointments to the court. That would be welcome, given the rightward tilt of the last 20 years overall. Also on today's show, for our listeners in Arizona, there is a threat to the clean election law that has been passed in recent years. And Barb Lubin's going to join us, executive director of the Clean Elections Institute in Arizona. There is a member of the state legislature who is trying to gut the accomplishments of the clean election team, and we're going to talk about it. It's another Republican trying to trump the will of the people. Also on today's show, Jason Leopold, the investigative journalist at truthout.org, will be joining us to update us on the Valerie Plame, Karl Rove, Joe Wilson story. And fingers crossed, this Thursday night may be Fitzmas Eve. If you remember, Patrick Fitzgerald has been handling this case for quite a while. He's the special prosecutor based out of Chicago, where he's the U.S. attorney. And many of us thought the Rove indictment would come down in December. And so we called that hopeful hallowed day Fitzmas. And it looks like we may get Fitzmas in May. We'll find out from Jason coming up a little bit later on in the program. And our final hour, we kick off the Free Speech Zone with a weekly update from Melanie Sloan at Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. There's a lot going on there in the marshes, and she'll give us an update as we kick off our last hour of the show, which is where we do the Free Speech Zone. So if you're listening in Phoenix or in Sacramento, you can always just call us between 5 and 6 p.m. Pacific time and join in the Free Speech Zone, because we take calls on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice, even if the sound of my voice is not live at the time you hear it. Again, the toll-free line is 888-579-2540. Well, just a couple of interesting things to comment on. Widely published today, the results of a survey of this year's high school graduates, and they are seriously challenged when it comes to geography. 60% of today's high school grads cannot find Iraq, Israel, or Iran on the map. Could they all have skipped school on the day they covered the I countries? That is astounding, isn't it? And a serious issue to contend with. I mean, how can we send our kids, the men and women of the armed services, to Iraq if they don't even know where the damn place is? Also, some good news out of Guantanamo Bay, or actually New York City. The Center for Constitutional Rights is sending a couple of attorneys to Guantanamo Bay to meet with their client Salim Adem for the very first time. This, the result of a Friday court ruling by U.S. District Court Judge Richard Roberts, ordering the Defense Department to grant access to the attorneys. It denied the Bush administration's motion for reconsideration, effectively rejecting the administration's attempt to deny detainees access to counsel for months. Mr. Adem has been asking for legal assistance for over a year. Now, this is an important step because, to date, the courts have been reluctant to charter challenge the administration, as it has asserted sweeping powers over Guantanamo Bay and the idea that they don't have to answer to courts because we're at war and therefore they can do whatever the hell they want. Well, it's an important step forward, and we will be following it and see exactly where it leads. Also, maybe you caught this, and I might have time to talk to Professor Cohn about it. Over the weekend, the administration announced that they may hold off on the announced releases of some 400 detainees at Guantanamo Bay for their own safety. Yes, that's right. They're concerned. You know, of course, they told us they couldn't name them out of concerns for their safety. And now they're so concerned for their safety, they want to keep them in that secure compound on the end of the island of Cuba. Not to protect us, but for their own good. I mean,
How crazy does this get? I can understand that some of these detainees may be sent back to unwelcome wagons in their home nations, but that doesn't mean we have to keep them at Gitmo. I'm sorry. We don't just have two choices. Also, before we go to our first break, I want to acknowledge a couple of emails from angry listeners to our program. We'll talk about this again in the 5 o'clock hour, but there were two people at least who were upset by what was termed our illegal immigration love fest on the program yesterday. Chris, one of our earliest listeners who found out about the Peter B. Collins show just a few days after it went on the air last year on the Central Coast, he writes, "Why don't you turn on C-SPAN right now and witness the true Hispanic immigrants complaining about the illegal immigrants?" That's in red, by the way. It's called You Don't Speak For Me. "I was going to call in about your illegal love fest, but I had to barf. I now have lost all respect for you. When someone disagrees with your illegal coddling, they're all of a sudden a Tancredo and a Sensenbrenner best buddy. I thought it was think for yourself." That's our slogan at KRXA. "Even if these illegals were legal, should we still dilute the labor force so we can all work for $5.15 an hour? Not everyone in America is a college graduate." Then he kind of revels in the idea that college graduates are suffering from illegals who have the H-1B white-collar permits. Anyway, he says, "These illegal immigrants are killing the blue-collar worker, damn it. I covered my KRXA sticker with an Angelita sticker." And then he closes by saying, "Colbert for president." Well, I replied to him, "Hey, Chris, we agree on the Colbert part. But I do not agree in any way that illegal immigrants are killing the blue-collar worker. Corporate America is doing that. Illegal immigrants are simply one of the most effective weapons that they use in that effort." And also from Al in Eureka or Arcata, he is stuck on that term, legal and illegal. "America welcomes all legal immigrants. It's complete BS of illegals demanding work and services from Americans." We'll talk more about this in the Free Speech Zone this afternoon in our third hour, 5 o'clock Pacific time. Coming up next, Professor Marjorie Cohn will join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, 16 minutes past the hour. From the Left Coast, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Program. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
When it comes to the safety of your family in Monterey County, you have a clear choice to elect a sheriff we can all be proud of, Robert Owen. He's running for sheriff because he has 30 years experience in law enforcement, with the integrity and skill necessary to provide visionary leadership for the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen's campaign refuses to take large special interest donations. You can't say that about the other candidates who want to be your sheriff. On June 6, vote for the sheriff who will work for the people of Monterey County. Vote Robert Owen, sheriff.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about packing the courts with right-wing judges. Jesse Rutledge from an organization called Justice at Stake will be joining us. Right now, we welcome back Marjorie Cohn, House Counsel here at the Peter B. Collins Show, unpaid so far. And she's also Professor of Constitutional Law at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego and the President-elect of the National Lawyers Guild. Marjorie Cohn, welcome back to our show today.
Thanks, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. And I just regret that with you and so many of the other fine people who come on the program, we always have to temper our pleasure at talking with one another about the difficult topics that we work over. And once again, the Moussaoui jury is in the news. We now have 6 full days of deliberations under that jury's belt. No verdict yet. And from your experience as a trial watcher, given that this jury already affirmed that it's willing to consider the death penalty, that was an earlier judgment they made in this phase of the trial, does this suggest to you that they're having a real hard time reaching a verdict?
Well, it sure does, especially when you look at the evidence in this case, the hours and hours of graphic testimony of the victims, the families of victims of 9/11, the videotapes of the horrors that went on that day, as well as the fact that Moussaoui has confessed, and every time he leaves the courtroom, he says something like, long live Osama bin Laden and down with America. I mean, you would think that this would be an open and shut case. But the fact that the jury is really grappling with whether to put this guy to death, I think has an awful lot to do with the defendant that Bush chose to indict, not Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or Mohammed al-Qahtani, the alleged mastermind of 9/11 and alleged 20th hijacker. He can't prosecute them because he's tortured them, and so their evidence would not be admissible. But here we have Zacharias Moussaoui, who is a paranoid schizophrenic. There's been psychiatric testimony that he has firmly held delusional beliefs that Bush is going to free him from prison. He said that he and Richard Reid, the so-called shoe bomber, were going to fly the fifth airplane into the White House on September 11th, but even the FBI says there's no evidence to support that.
Well, I was waiting for Moussaoui to say that Elvis is in the building and will be here as soon as Richard Reid appears.
There you go. I mean, the best the Bush administration can do here in its so-called bringing the terrorist to justice is to prosecute a mentally ill, marginal bit player who was in a Minnesota jail on September 11th.
And a little more detail on KSM. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is widely believed to be the lieutenant who ordered the attacks on 9/11. You mentioned that you believe he's been tortured. I would presume that based on his profile and the fact that we have announced that we have him in custody. But is there any supporting evidence for that?
It's widely thought that he's been tortured. You know, listen, if he is Osama bin Laden's main lieutenant, if he masterminded the September 11th attacks, you think he's going to just willingly say give his captors evidence and information, be it true or false? I mean, right. Torture does produce false evidence much of the time. I don't think there's any doubt that he is being severely tortured.
Mm-hmm. And in your piece, by the way, which was posted Monday, the 1st of May, on truthout.org, called Scapegoats in Terror War, you run down the litany of the failed prosecutions by the Bush administration since 9/11, including the one that was announced just last week in Sacramento, the Lodi Mosque case of Hamid Hayat and his father, Umar Hayat, who was Umar was released because of a deadlocked jury, and they're trying to figure out whether to retry him. Hamid's case is now tainted not only by the paid FBI informant who I believe framed the young man, but also by a juror who has complained that she was pressured by the other jurors to vote for conviction.
That's true. I mean, she said that she never believed that Hayat was guilty, and in addition to the paid FBI informant, the interrogations were conducted in English, which Hayat doesn't understand well, and his lawyers claim that his statements were made under duress. There was no lawyer present at the time that he made some of these statements. And so I think that, and the other thing is that the statute, the material support statute that he was convicted under, has been twice declared unconstitutional by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals because it doesn't require proof of any overt act. This is what the Bush administration is doing. It's bringing prosecutions against people who are not really convicted of doing anything, and most of them are not even convicted of conspiring to do anything, but rather providing material support to terrorists under this material witness statute without even proof that some of them attended these terrorist training camps or even gave any monetary or other support to these so-called terrorist groups. So it's a
and this
very
redefines
loose.
This redefines kangaroo court in a negative way.
It does. I mean, we're not even talking about military tribunals here. We're talking about U.S. courts where the Bush administration continues to try to get convictions and has a very, very dismal record. Defeat after defeat, where juries are acquitting defendants charged with so-called material support to terrorism, or judges are overturning convictions because of prosecutorial misconduct, covering up the fact that a key witness admitted lying to the FBI, coaching witnesses.
Just today, the New York Times reports further on Sami El Arian. He's a former computer science professor in Florida who has been detained for many years now. And they just sentenced him to an additional 19 months in prison before he is deported. The deportation is a result of a plea bargain after a six-month trial that ended in a hung jury. And once again, you know, the government isn't able to win these cases on a straight factual basis.
Right. I mean, the jury did not convict Al Arian of anything. They found him not guilty of several charges and had a hung jury on others. And so they came up with this plea bargain where he pled guilty to one count. And then he's going to be deported. So in the meantime, before he's deported, the judge, you know, is a real tough guy. He says, I'm going to keep you in jail for 19 months. And here's somebody who really hasn't been convicted of anything. He pled guilty to one count.
Marjorie, just 30 seconds remaining. We're going to talk about court packing next. To what extent do you think judges are a critical problem in these failed prosecutions?
I don't think you can say that. I mean, there have been judges that have overturned convictions, such as the conviction of the two Detroit men who were arrested for planning a terrorist incident, and a judge in Detroit reversed that conviction because the prosecutor covered up the fact that its key witness admitted lying to the FBI. So certainly there are some right-wing judges who are going to try to bend over backwards to help Alberto Gonzalez get convictions on these, on these flimsy material witness charges. But I don't think you can say that, especially
when
the
night. Got to stop here. Thank you very much, Professor Marjorie Cohen, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Court packing is next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Colts in session. The Colts in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. And I'm glad you're listening.
Stop.
Over the last 25 years, the membership of the judicial bench in this country has tilted further and further to the right. However, to be fair, we should point out that court packing is not simply a Republican effort. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was charged with court packing during his four terms as President of the United States, and, well, I kind of like the way he packed the court. But now I'm on the receiving end of all these very conservative appointments. Even Bill Clinton appointed no far-left liberals to balance all of the conservatives that were put on the court by Reagan and Bush 1 in front of him. And Karl Rove's strategy has been to put only conservatives on the courts as payback to the evangelicals and others who have supported the Bush-Cheney team now in two tainted elections. Joining us is Jesse Rutledge. He's communications director at Justice at Stake. You can find out more about them. The website, justiceatstake.org. Jesse, welcome to our program today.
Thanks, Peter. It's good to be here.
Nice to talk with you. And I also want to reference a powerful article in the brand new edition of Mother Jones Magazine, which is the May-June edition. And the article by Margaret Ibrahim is entitled The Bible Bench. The message from fundamentalists to state jurists is clear. Judge conservatively, lest ye not be a judge. And we saw this originating, Jesse, in Texas, where Karl Rove, I just happened to mention him, was busy running these campaigns for candidates to the state Supreme Court. And if I'm correct, I believe all but one of the current members of the Texas Supreme Court got into office with Karl Rove as their political consultant. So this politicization of the state-level courts is a very conscious effort, is it not?
Yeah, you could well be right about Karl Rove's involvement in those campaigns. In fact, it goes back a little bit earlier than Texas, and Karl Rove was first involved in campaigns in Alabama. But this is absolutely something that that began in the Deep South and has really been picked up and spread to a great number of states, if not most states, that use elections to choose their judges.
Mm-hmm. And in a few minutes, we'll talk about Missouri, which had been the model for a nonpartisan appointment of judges and is now a highly partisan state. But I want to start with the lead story, the lead anecdote in this article by Margaret Ibrahim, because it gives people context. In 2003, Iowa District Court Judge Jeffrey Neary handled a divorce case. And it wasn't until he actually signed these papers that he realized that the couple that was divorcing was two women, a same-sex couple. And so he just went ahead and did what he thought was his job. And then the right-wing Christian conservatives picked up on it, and people waving signs like, God hates fags, and that, of course, is the signature of the fine folks, Fred Phelps and his church in Topeka, Kansas. They denounced Neary as a liberal activist and a member of an anti-Christic court. And so, you know, the judge says, look, I was just trying to settle a dispute between two people, but he made his decision just before the Massachusetts Supreme Court upheld the legality of same-sex marriage. So then he was up for re-election the next year, and in the past he had had no problems winning re-election, but this time he only got 59% of the vote. He had to raise money and do some advertising. And he commented, he said, when I write opinions in the future, I will cover myself so people know why I decided the way I did. I will think a little bit about timing. I will sit on decisions around retention time. Yes, this experience has curtailed the third branch of government. And this is a very serious threat that Sandra Day O'Connor acknowledged shortly after she stepped off. Well, she had submitted her resignation, but I guess she wasn't retired yet, right?
Well, I think she's been talking about it for some time, and she did speak out a good amount while she was on the bench, and she has actually stepped up her her commentary since she retired, and has become, in some ways, the defender-in-chief of the judicial system.
And in comments, to be correct, she spoke at Georgetown in March, so that was after Alito was on the court, so she was fully retired by that time. But she asserted that attacks on the judiciary by some Republican leaders pose a direct threat to our constitutional freedom. Now, it's significant. Sandra Day O'Connor is a staunch Republican, and for her to put aside the PC of a retired Supreme Court justice and say that is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it really is. It's most remarkable. And if I can, I'd like to step back to the Iowa example that you were just discussing, which is referenced in the article in Mother Jones this month,
mm-hmm.
because the example points out a larger problem that the courts are facing right now, which is you have interest groups from all sides of the political spectrum, though, to be fair, I think that most of the attacks are coming from the right, where these groups are basically singling out individual decisions that a judge made over the course of a career that may have included thousands of decisions, and they're going after those judges. It's become a tactic that we're seeing developed and refined and used all over the country to try to remove judges that certain interest groups don't like.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, they have candidates that they would prefer to seat onto the bench, and they will back those candidates instead. But oftentimes, it's done in such a way that it's an independent expenditure against the candidate, and they just go after a sitting judge and try to malign that person as to the greatest extent they can. There was a case, an example from West Virginia in 2004, where actually it was a business group as opposed to a social group that effectively removed a sitting Supreme Court justice by running over 4,000 negative TV ads against the judge, accusing him of siding with pedophiles. And it's a very unfair, unjust way to attack the courts.
Well, and it's part of a larger concerted effort, Jesse Rutledge, to really try to get the courts to do what certain people want. And it started with the so-called war on drugs and minimum mandatory sentences. Maybe it didn't start with that, but I consider that to be a pivotal point. And we even have members of Congress, including the almost resigned Tom DeLay, who have discussed legislation to penalize judges for under-sentencing individuals based on minimum mandatories and other types of over-the-shoulder second-guessing that clearly fly in the face of the separation of powers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There has been a remarkable uptick in the number and the scale of these threats. And if you look back over the course of the history of our country, there are peaks and valleys, and there have always been efforts to intimidate judges, but I think that we're in a peak right now that we may not, the valley may not come for some time. It's very good politics for some of these folks, whether they be on Capitol Hill in Washington or whether they be in state houses around the country, to beat up on judges, and it serves really to undermine people's confidence in the third branch of government generally, and that's perhaps the biggest danger in all of this.
Well, and the two phrases that have obviously been focus group tested and do very well with the conservative base are activist judges and legislating from the bench. Now, I love to hear George W. Bush criticize activist judges because, of course, he would never be president if it weren't for five activist judges on the Supreme Court who legislated from the damn bench.
The interesting thing about the term activist judges, I actually believe it was a judge from California and a Nixon appointee, no less, who made the observation that judicial activism is just a decision you don't like.
Yeah.
It has no intellectual basis. It simply has become a catchphrase and a soundbite to go after judges generally, and individual decisions in particular, when there's a sense that there's some political gain to doing that.
Mm-hmm. Here's another example. Lauren McMaster sits on the California Supreme Court, and Tony Andrade, the man who spearheaded the petition drive that ultimately launched the recall of Governor Gray Davis on behalf of a conservative Christian group called Campaign for Children and Families, has helped to mount a recall drive against McMaster, leading him to conclude, some social conservatives don't want judges making decisions without first sticking their finger in the wind. Now, that initiative did fail, but now I think we ought to talk about Missouri, because going back as far as 1940, that's when they came up with a plan to switch to merit selection of judges. A bipartisan screening commission recommends candidates to the governor, who makes a final decision. After a year or so on the bench, the appointed judge must then run unopposed to retain the job. And this is called the Missouri Plan, currently used in 15 states. But now 39 states use some sort of an election process, to select judges. And as that has occurred, more and more activist groups from the right have been using questionnaires, heavy advertising campaigns, and different forms of intimidation to try to get rid of judges who make decisions they don't like, and to try to promote the fortunes of judges whom they already know support their positions. And that's a little uncomfortable, isn't it?
I think it is. I think it's a lot uncomfortable, actually. And the idea that you can use a questionnaire to determine the views of a candidate for office is, of course, something that has been refined in the political realm and has been used widely in congressional races and state legislative races. And there's nothing wrong with asking your average politician where they stand on abortion or where they stand on school choice or any number of hot-button issues. And that's because we elect and we pay legislators to make promises during campaigns, and one hopes to keep promises once they're elected. But it's really different when you think about the proper role of a judge in our system of government. The idea that a judge would receive a questionnaire during a campaign and be forced to, in effect, make a pledge or a promise as to how they will rule if they get elected, you know, that's a difficult thing to wrap your mind around, because the premise of the judicial system is that judges should be acting fairly and impartially, and they should be reviewing each case one at a time based on the facts and the law, and not based on some pre-commitment or on pressure that developed during an election campaign while they were trolling for votes.
Right. We'll pick up there as we continue. Jesse Rutledge is our guest, Communications Director, Justice at Stake. Visit their website, justiceatstake.org. When we return, we'll talk more about Missouri, about who's funding these right-wing recall and judicial election campaigns, and also talk about Roy Moore, the justice of the court in the South, Alabama, I think, who trots around the country with his own Ten Commandments, the marble statue of it. That's coming up next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Paraiso Vineyard's 5th Annual Air Show on May 13th. Call 831-678-0300 or go to the web at paraisovineyards.com.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience
helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from ThinkerToys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from ThinkerToys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. ThinkerToys is open daily.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There are many ways fathers are involved in their children's lives. There are stay-at-home dads, working dads, and fathers who are separated from their kids through divorce or other circumstances. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me to discuss the ways fathers stay connected with their children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about packing the courts. And my guest is Jesse Rutledge, Communications Director at Justice at Stake. I also recommend this article to you that's in the current issue of Mother Jones Magazine. Very interesting information there. Jesse, let me just counter for a moment and take the other side, and I can really come up with only one good argument for direct election of judges. And that is, here in California, before Gray Davis was recalled, he was running a pay-to-play operation. And people who aspired to serve on the bench had a choice, essentially, of contributing a large amount of cash to his campaign or just running for an open seat after a judge retired. And, in fact, I worked as a media consultant and helped a woman get elected judge in the Superior Court of Santa Clara County. And I'm very proud of her. It's not somebody who I would expect who would ever do me a favor. And I don't think that she pulls any punches. But in that case, she had a choice of, you know, raising 50 or 75 grand for a campaign to run for the office or greasing the governor. And she decided that the public campaign was a more honorable route.
Hmm. Well, very interesting, and it's sort of hard to say what the best system is for choosing judges. There are sort of two major kinds, as you pointed out. There are elections and there are appointments, and the Missouri plan that you described earlier kind of brings the best of both worlds together. But the problem is that most of America's judges are elected, and it's very unlikely that anytime soon we're going to be moving away from that. There is a sense out there that election of judges provides a sense of accountability, that it's the best sort of accountability. Now, it also brings with it a host of problems. And on the other side, people who support a system where you would appoint the judges say that actually that doesn't really remove the politics from the process. Mm-hmm. It just puts it behind closed doors where only a very limited number of people can go. And minority communities in particular have concerns about getting shut out of those rooms. So there are pros and cons to all systems. Our group doesn't say that there's one best system, but we have done a lot to document the rise in spending and the role of these social conservative groups in the election process.
Mm-hmm. Jesse Rutledge, tell us about this landmark case, Republican Party of Minnesota versus Suzanne White.
This is a case that, as the title implies, came out of the state of Minnesota. It was brought by it was a challenge that was brought by a candidate for the Minnesota Supreme Court who claimed that his First Amendment free speech rights were being curtailed by the state's judicial code of ethics, which limited what he could say during the course of a campaign. This case developed over a number of years, and it went up to the United States Supreme Court, and by a 5-4 vote, the United States Supreme Court agreed that his free speech rights had been curtailed and struck down what's called the announce clause from the Minnesota Code of Judicial Ethics, which essentially prohibited candidates there from announcing their views on disputed legal or political issues. Now, the problem has been that this case has actually had much wider reverberations across the country than many expected. In many senses, it was a Pandora's box that was opened up, and I think that it's fair to say that many judicial candidates around the country have, if not misread the case, have read it overly broadly so that they feel like they are now entitled to campaign in a much more open style where they're expected to speak their minds on these issues. And in my view, that's a bit of a misreading of what the U.S. Supreme Court said. And what it has done is really empowered the powerful special interest groups to not just ask candidates to take positions, but to, in effect, demand that they take positions in exchange for support in the election.
Well, and Bush says he never asks a judicial candidate his or her position on abortion. It's because he doesn't have to. That's been handled at a much lower level. They wouldn't be in the Oval Office if they didn't toe the line.
Yeah, you may well be right there.
Now, there's also another side to this, which came into sharp relief for many people in Clarence Thomas, Justice Roberts, and Justice Alito confirmation hearings, which is where, since Bork, it has become the practice of candidates up for confirmation, with a couple of exceptions on the left, to avoid at all costs stating even the obvious from their written record over the years, and just playing dodge-em until Joe Biden runs out of questions.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the process has turned into basically a big game of hide the ball. And I think that, a lot of people are starting to realize that system itself is moving perilously close to being broken altogether. And I'm not sure what the fix is to that, but I think that people who watched the Roberts and Alito hearings probably walked away thinking, I have no idea what these people think or even what their judicial philosophy is. And, that's definitely a concern.
Mm-hmm. Also, and I'm jumping around a little bit here in the article, but I just want to share briefly with listeners that the funding for some of these campaigns, for example, the Teitelman campaign in Missouri, came from the Eagle Forum, the Missouri Family Network, the Missouri branch of the National Rifle Association, Eagle Forum, run by Phyllis Schlafly, longtime right-wing gadfly. I debated her once a long time ago about the Equal Rights Amendment and declared her loony. Focus on the Family that's James Dobson's very well-funded religious right organization based in Colorado, Christian Coalition. And then, of course, there's Jay Sekulow and the American Center for Law and Justice. These are all groups who are active in pushing court appointments to the right, and you should be aware of the work they're doing. Now let's take a look at Roy Moore. This is the guy from Alabama who got thrown off the court because he insisted on having that replica of the Ten Commandments, the marble version, in the foyer of the state Supreme Court building. And ultimately the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that, Roy. And he has turned that into a cause celeb. Consider a guy who was the Chief Justice of a state who openly defied the Supreme Court is now using that as a calling card, and I guess he's running for the U.S. Senate or planning to.
He's running for governor this year.
Governor, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the Republican primary election is coming up in Alabama in early June, and you're right, Roy Moore has absolutely turned this into a cause celebre, and he's running against an incumbent Republican governor there in the hopes of unseating him in the primary in a state where basically the general election is held in the Republican primary.
Yeah.
And what's even more interesting is that there are 5 seats up on the Alabama Supreme Court in the Republican primary, and in each case there is either a Republican incumbent or it's an open seat, and in each case the social conservative groups have recruited somebody to run against the Republican incumbent. And what you see is a very interesting split within the Republican Party in Alabama and in other deep South states, between those who are business conservatives and those who are social conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republican establishment right now in the governor's office and on the court, dominated by business conservatives, and you've got social conservatives running against them in the primary, trying to get them out.
Interesting stuff. Jesse Rutledge, thank you for joining us. You're very well informed, and I'd love to have you back on the show in the future. Visit the website justiceatstake.org. Coming up next, clean elections in Arizona.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Do you care about issues affecting the working men and women of our community? Healthcare, immigration, the warmerization of our economy, social justice issues in general.
If you care, there's a show for you. It's called Labor Matters, hosted by Jose Mendez and myself, Ren Bradley. Please join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon.
Don't give up the fight.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Are we close to catching the leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq?
The hunt for Zarqawi has now eclipsed in size the hunt for Osama bin Laden.
An emotional hearing on the Sago mine disaster.
People's lives have been changed forever because of what's happened. And you can't let this happen again. No one needs to go through this ever again.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Lack of intelligence has hampered the search for Osama bin Laden, but U.S. forces in Iraq seem to have better intelligence on his surrogate there, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. CBS News correspondent David Martin has details of the search in the Sunni Triangle.
The assault on Zarqawi's network is being conducted by a secret unit known as Task Force 145, divided into four teams, three American and one British, which conduct raids virtually every night. One measure of its intensity, at least seven members of the elite Delta Force have been killed so far.
More than 200 members of the Zarqawi network have been killed or captured, including many of his top lieutenants. After one recent raid, a captured terrorist told interrogators that Zarqawi had been just 1,000 yards away. A roadside bomb killed another American soldier today, pushing the U.S. military death toll above 2,400. Now this.
Having a safe place to sleep is a universal need. Having a safe way to sleep should be just as important. When used as directed, Tylenol PM is a safe, non-habit-forming way to relieve pain with sleeplessness. In fact, no other OTC pain reliever is safer than Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM. Take only as directed. If you're taking a pain reliever for your arthritis pain, you could be taking something that may interact with your prescriptions. The pure pain relief of Tylenol Arthritis Pain works all day, and when used as directed, has fewer drug interaction risks than the NSAID Aleve. Stop. Think. Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Works up to 8 hours. Take only as directed.
Only once before has the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration allowed family members to testify at a public hearing. The agency got an earful today from relatives of the 12 men who died in West Virginia's Sago mine explosion. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula was there.
Distraught family members have demanded improvements in mine safety and answers to questions about what caused the Sago accident 4 months ago. Shelley Groves Rose lost her father, Jerry.
We all deserve the truth. And we deserve to know what happened on January 2nd.
The families say they won't go away quietly. They want to make sure there's never another mine accident in the nation again. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Buchanan, West Virginia.
Tomorrow, the Bush administration explains what would happen if bird flu spreads to humans. Under a worst-case scenario, CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod says officials believe an outbreak overseas could spread to this country within 2 months.
In the doomsday version, which the White House stresses is unlikely, as many as 2 million Americans could die and 40% of the workforce would be sidelined, crippling the U.S. economy. The National Guard would be deployed to keep order and deliver medicines.
The administration does not plan to close the borders, believing that would not prevent a pandemic. Unveiling a new hurricane evacuation plan today, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin also issued a warning.
There will be no shelter of last resort.
He said the Superdome and the Convention Center would not be used as shelters. Buses and trains would move people out of town. If there's another big storm this year, Gil Jamison of FEMA says an evacuation would be easier.
You have, quite frankly, a lot of folks that haven't returned down there. So just the numbers of people that would be required to evacuate at the beginning of hurricane season are far less than they were last year.
Taking a lesson from the aftermath of Katrina, officials say evacuees would be allowed to bring pets as long as they're caged. Emergency crews are standing by at Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston while a Continental Express jet with 48 people aboard circles overhead, burning off fuel before it attempts an emergency landing. Officials say the plane blew at least one tire when it took off on a flight to Minneapolis. The Dow hasn't been this high since January 2000. At the closing bell, the blue chip index was up 73 points to 11,416. Strong corporate earnings outweighed rising energy prices. Barry Bonds is getting closer to the Babe.
Bonds hits one deep into center field, and that one is on its way, number 712.
San Francisco Giants sportscaster John Miller on KTVU as the controversial slugger came within two home runs of Babe Ruth's career total. Despite Bonds' effort, the Giants lost to the San Diego Padres 5-3. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste. And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and that makes me your humble host, Peter B. I'm glad you're listening.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend.
Smiling faces. You can sing along, it's okay.
Show no traces
of the evil that lurks within. Later this hour, the weekly visit with Jason Leopold, investigative reporter at truthout.org, the guy who has killed on the Rove investigation. And he believes, based on his sources, that Karl Rove will be indicted before the end of this week. We'll get more details coming up shortly. Our program is heard on KRXA 540 Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, on KGOE 1480 Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. We're also on the air in Sacramento, California on Talk City 1240. It's our first night broadcasting there. Welcome, Sacramento. And we've been on for a couple of weeks now on the new progressive talk station in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX 1480. And in this portion of the program, we deal with an issue right there in the great state of Arizona. Barb Lubin joins us. She's executive director of Clean Elections Institute, and there is a serious threat to the clean elections victories that have been won and hard fought over the past few years. Barb, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Peter. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's good to speak with you, and you and your team have set an example for cleaning up campaign finance and the funding of political campaigns. These are very significant steps, and now you are under assault from a legislator who wants to undo all of your good work. Let's first set the baseline. How long of a struggle was it to get some of these key components of clean elections for Arizona into law?
In Arizona, the voters passed an initiative in 1998 establishing the Clean Elections Law. And the first year that it went into effect was the 2000 election.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are now coming up on our, what would this be, our fourth election cycle. We have been under threat from day one. We have had six or seven lawsuits challenging the constitutionality of the law. We headed off a measure that would have essentially repealed the law in the 2004 election. And now they're coming after us again. So I have to think that we must be doing a good job to have so many foes against us, because this isn't just about Arizona. It's about the rest of the country. And California has passed the Clean Money, Clean Elections law in your assembly. It's now been tabled in a Senate committee.
Mm-hmm.
But I think these folks don't want things to be going well in Arizona, because they don't want the rest of the country to empower individuals as opposed to big money special interests.
Indeed. We did get an update from Patty Berg, Assemblywoman and co-author of the Clean Money California bill last week. And we are hopeful, but it is an election year, and it might pass the Democratic-controlled legislature, but it's uncertain what our Austrian-born action movie star governor might do with it. Now, you are facing, let's just name the nemesis here, State Representative Russell Pierce, a Republican, I presume?
Yes, and he sometimes backs away and says, oh, since he was a member of this particular committee that tried this last-minute attack, that the person really behind it is Representative Rick Murphy, who is a newly elected Republican representative out of the Glendale area on the western part of Maricopa County here.
Mm-hmm. Now, you served up a very zesty soundbite here, Barb, so I'm just going to read it for our listeners. The legislation proposed by this man, Pierce, you described the Pierce approach to dealing with campaign and election scandals is to just legalize them. It reads like a 38-page tribute to Jack Abramoff.
This is very true. This measure that they've put forth would not only gut clean elections, but it would allow every office at every level of state government, and at, including local government here in the state, to be purchased. He has increased campaign contribution limits to more than twice what they are for federal offices, and yet he has decreased the requirements for disclosing who made those contributions and the information where people can really see who are these folks that are putting forth this money.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Barbara Lubin. She's executive director of the Institute, what is it called, Clean Elections Institute,
yes,
in Arizona.
Yes, a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about this attempt to gut the important clean money legislation that was approved by voters in a referendum in 1998. And, Barb, this is part of a pattern that we see. California passed very progressive legislation to protect the privacy of individuals and keeping the big banks and insurance companies from trading our private financial information so that they could market to us or take advantage of us. It took three, maybe four tries through the legislature. It was finally signed into law, and then the Republican-controlled Congress preempted California's law with a much weaker law that, as I said, preempts all state laws and puts in place a weaker law favored by the business interests. We see now bubbling up in Congress another preemptive effort against the states. That's related to food safety regulations and laws. And here we have referenda that were passed by the voters in California that require warning labels and that sort of thing. And there's federal legislation that's passed the House but has not yet cleared the Senate that would gut the California laws and those in some 30 other states. So you're lucky that at least they're sticking to local action and working through the Arizona legislature and instead of trying to get a federal override that would gut your laws.
Well, please don't give them any ideas. And I really think that all states need to take advantage of this horrible scandal, the scandals with Abramoff and DeLay and whatnot that are going on in Washington, and wake up the people and get action so that these sorts of things, if they have been going on in the states, they can be stopped.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Barb, we got about 3 minutes till the next break here. So I'd like to do a little role-playing.
Okay.
I'm going to slip into a real smarmy Tucker Carlson-like thing, and you can imagine me with that bow tie on.
Okay, I've got you.
Okay. And I'm going to read some of the bullet points here that would be permissible under the relaxed rules promoted by State Representative Russell Pierce in this legislation that would essentially strike out key elements of your clean election laws. Okay?
Okay, so what do you want me to do?
I want you, I'm going to pretend to be Tucker Carlson, and then you just be yourself, and you respond to my stupid questions.
Okay. Got it.
So, under this revision, candidates could accept cash loans from lobbyists like Mitchell Wade or Jack Abramoff and not have to pay them back. What's wrong with that, Barb?
Well, you know, they say that this is sometimes the best government money can buy, and with this, if this measure goes into effect, it'd be absolutely true.
Okay. Tucker again here. There would be no funding available for clean elections candidates. The cap would be blown off contribution limits by increasing the current limits by more than 1,600%. Hey, what's wrong with that? I mean, all this good government stuff doesn't really work. It's money that wins elections, and who are we kidding?
You know, 85% of the people in this country believe that there is a direct correlation between campaign contributions and how their elected officials vote on policy. So I think that the people probably know what's going on, even though the pundits and the elected officials might want to tell you otherwise.
All right. Political action committees would be allowed to make Abramoff-type $10,000 investments in candidates, an increase of 3,500% over today's limits, just keeping pace with the cost of inflation.
That's right, and making sure that they can get those tax breaks and special goodies that they will benefit their clients.
Now, corporations are persons, so what's the problem with allowing corporations in Arizona to give cash directly to political candidates?
You know, in this country, we have not allowed corporations to give contributions directly for 100 years, so, you know.
Oh, but Barb, why do you think the good Lord invented wire transfers?
I know. So, you know, let's just figure it all out and say, laissez-faire, let the richest person control. That's what we want.
All right, one more here before we go to a break. Wealthy individuals would be able to play Arizona's elections like a roulette table in Vegas, placing $10,000 contributions with an unlimited number of candidates. Hey, if I've got the money, why can't I double down?
Well, that's right, and you'll really love this law because it even allows your kids 10 years and over to give $10,000 contributions, and I am sure that all your preteens just really have opinions how they want to spend all that money out of their piggy bank.
Hey, come on. My kid's a pioneer.
Cool.
All right. I will now step out of the smarmy Tucker Carlson bow tie mode and resume my role as Peter B. Collins. Barb, stay with us. We're going to take a break. Got at least one caller on the line if you'd like to talk about clean elections in Arizona and the threat posed by this proposed legislation. Get on the line now. Central Coast, my number is 831-899-5792. Anywhere else, call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. What a relief it is not to be Tucker Carlson. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
So tell me, Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540. Sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 BMW X5. the larger of BMW's two SUV models. My demo was assembled in the Bavarian town called Spartanburg, South Carolina, and about half the parts were made in Germany. It's got a fuel-injected 3-liter, 6-cylinder engine and a 5-speed automatic, has adequate power and acceleration. The X5 handles well, has a smooth ride, not as squishy as some of Detroit's SUVs. It's loaded with all the power toys you'd expect, including a moonroof, a navigation system that's pretty easy to use, and a premium sound system. In most respects, the X5 is comparable to the Explorer or Pathfinder with a higher price tag. By the numbers, the 2006 BMW X5 gets 16 miles in the city, 21 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $55,000. I'm Peter B. Collins. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540 takes a look at your traffic this afternoon, 20 minutes after the hour, and here's our superstar at Metro Traffic, Amy Knight.
Well, good afternoon, Peter.
Hello.
It's actually quite nice for a Tuesday, not too much to talk about. We have some load of trash dumped in Marina on Del Monte Boulevard and Highway 1. Should drive with caution as you're traveling on Marina City streets. Also, Del Monte Avenue between Sloat and Camino El Estro. Looks like Public Works has begun a maintenance project to include some servicing of the lanes and fixing storm drains, and we'll let you know when that project is finished. Market at Highway 1 in Santa Cruz. Looks like some undercrossings will be closed for the next 3 months for utility work. Otherwise, we'll keep you posted when that reopens as well. But no new stalls or accidents to report for Highway 17 or Highway 1.
And are there redwood trees in the Big Basin Forest?
Yes, there are.
Just checking. Wanted to confirm that.
TomTom is your portable everyday solution.
Sorry.
It's okay.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Having more fun than a human being should be permitted, I guess. We continue our conversation with Barb Lubin, Executive Director of Clean Elections Institute in Arizona, where they are fighting to preserve the laws passed in a referendum by voters in 1998, clean elections that permit candidates to, why don't you give us a quick sketch, Barb? Typically in clean elections, the candidates are allowed to raise an initial stake of very small contributions, usually, you know, $5 to $25, and then public funding matches them if they agree to certain terms, right?
Get on the ballot, and then you have to collect exactly $5 from registered voters. If you're running for the legislature that are registered within your district, if it's statewide, sure, it's statewide, you can collect a little bit of early money to get going. But then once you turn in your petitions and these $5 qualifying contributions, and I realize that California is huge compared to Arizona, but for instance, our legislative districts, you have to get about 250 $5 qualifying contributions,
mm-hmm.
and then that's when the state funding comes in.
Okay.
And also for the governor, you have to give about $4,500. And then, I don't even want to talk these numbers because California is so outrageous how expensive things are. But you end up getting about over $1.1 million here. But, yes, you mm-hmm. do have to agree to the spending limits if you're going to run clean. If your opponents outspend you or if independent expenditures and PACs come in and start getting involved in the race, you can get matching funds, but it's up to a particular limit. You
okay.
can't go totally out of control. It's a voluntary system.
All right.
You don't have to run clean, and people always say, but what about these millionaires? What if they want to put all their money into the race? They just run traditional and put all their money in and collect it. So it's a voluntary
system. And they can be labeled unclean by their opponent.
Yeah, they could be.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Now, a little Arizona civics lesson, if you could, Barb. What does it take for the legislature to override an initiative? Does it take a supermajority?
Well, what they'd have to do is this would be a ballot measure. If this measure to gut clean elections and allow the state to be open for sale passes the state legislature, and the governor has no veto authority, it would go on the ballot in November and have to be passed by the voters. We used to be able to, in the state, the legislature could really change things around on a voter-passed initiative. They did that on a legalization of medical marijuana law back in the late 90s, and they gutted the whole thing the voters had passed. And so next election, we came around and passed another initiative that says the legislature can't do that unless they have a supermajority, and it furthers the purpose of the original act.
Ah.
So we try to have that protection here. But, you
nice
know,
language, yeah.
The really strange thing about many of the people that are trying in the legislature to gut or repeal clean elections is many of them got elected under it. Yes, they ran as participating clean elections candidates. They defeated incumbents, usually in the primary,
mm-hmm.
and now that they're there,
they've got the disease.
That's right. They've got the disease. It's easy for them to go to the lobbyists and go to the PACs and say, hey, you know, give me those big checks. And by the way, I don't want anyone like myself out there being able to go to the people, get funded, and defeat me.
Yeah. There's an old Latin phrase, incumbens corruptivus.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, something
Dave,
like
in
that.
Humboldt, bail me out. I'm starting to talk Latin. Oh, we lost Dave. Oh, and Barb dropped, too? Well, let's dial her back. And, Dave, you can call back, too. There's still time to put you on the air. And that was Matt Renner's thumb that apparently caused the disconnects of the callers. But it happens. If you want to join us, 831-899-5792 or toll-free at 888-579-2540. Barb's back, and Dave, call us back. We'll take your call if time permits. Now, when we look at this situation, this proposal from Representative Pierce, it appears that it would be safer to just put your election process on eBay, and at least then everybody would be able to know who's bidding and how much.
Pretty much so, because it currently exists in Arizona that if you make a campaign contribution to anyone, $25 or more, you've got to list your name, your address, your occupation, and employer. It's required. Under this provision, you just have to ask the person what their address is or their occupation and employer. So for a lot of the folks out there that are wealthy or that have the libertarian point of view who say, oh, you know, there shouldn't be any campaign limits, but we should have instantaneous reporting, full disclosure. That's all we need. Well, we don't even have it with this measure because they're doing this on purpose to protect the backgrounds of who these people are that they're expecting to get contributions from. So it's particularly egregious.
All right, we're going to try again with Dave in Humboldt. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Okay, you hear me?
Yeah, sorry we disconnected you.
I see. Did I get out a sentence or two before it happened?
Not at all. No, Homeland Security cut you right off.
Is Matt working for them now?
Not that I know of.
Well, Barb, I think you're doing a wonderful thing, and I hope it can spread far and wide, and I hope that it would be in time to save this country. I see a GOP right now that, in every way that they can, cheating, deception, election fraud, that's what they're all about. They are not at all motivated towards competing in any honest election. They're represented by the haves and the have-mores, and that's 1% of the vote, and that's not going to put them in.
Dave, I'll only augment your comment that, unfortunately, there are a lot of Democrats who are happy with the status quo and not at all interested in seeing changes. They have that incumbent virus as well. Barb?
This is true. Actually, in Arizona, because the Republicans have about 100,000 more registered voters than the Democrats, and they got the legislative districts well gerrymandered in their benefit, they have more people running under clean elections and winning under clean elections. And in the state of Massachusetts that did pass clean elections in 1998, it was the Democratic legislature who wouldn't fund it, first of all, and then repealed it because they didn't want the competition. So mm-hmm. it's sort of like whatever party is out is in power doesn't like it
yeah.
in many respects.
Mm-hmm. Dave, thank you for that call today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Barb Lubin, thank you for joining us. And do keep us posted now that we have our affiliate there in Phoenix. We want to keep abreast of developments. So stay in touch with us, and we'll support your fight any way we can.
Well, thank you so much. And we're really glad that you're on the air here and Air America's back in Phoenix. We missed it desperately for the few weeks it was off the air.
Clean Elections Institute, azclean.org. Thank you, Barb Lubin. Coming up next, Jason Leopold. Is it time for Fitzmas?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Every business wants more functionality, efficiency, and flexibility from their document imaging technology.
Sharp, multifunctional products with open systems architecture, MFPs, that do more than just copy, print, fax, and scan.
Sharp's open systems architecture seamlessly integrates the MFP with your business applications,
giving you a gateway to your network. From the convenience of the MFP's customizable LCD panel for fast, flexible access to documents from anywhere in the office.
Sharp MFPs also enable you to effectively track usage, eliminate repetitive tasks, and streamline workflow.
Sharp Document Imaging Technology.
Functionality, accessibility, efficiency.
Sharp MFPs, awarded most IT-friendly by leading industry analyst Buyers Lab.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. The Tasty Planet Radio Show is sponsored by the Monterey Bay Aquarium's 5th Annual Cooking for Solutions on May 19th and 20th. For ticket information, call 866-963-9644 or go to the web at montereybayaquarium.org.
Hey, Sheila Gale here from the number one reality radio show at KRXA. Join me this Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. for more dating tales and dating nightmares with our lady Lana and hear updates from our former gang member, Robert X. We'll have a conversation with an Indonesian Muslim and hear about his experiences since 9/11. So don't miss us. Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. with me, Sheila Gale, Reality Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast and now heard in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City. Go ahead, get out the Christmas lights and all your Santa memorabilia. Is Fitzmas time finally here? Christmas time is here. I know I'm putting a tremendous amount of pressure on Jason Leopold, but I couldn't resist. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how are you, Peter?
I'm fine.
I'm wishing that I had like an inside line to Patrick Fitzgerald to say, Patrick, you know, you got to do this one for me.
That's right.
There's people out there that are, you know, going to hang me.
Well, Jason,
if it doesn't go down soon.
I am one of your people. And
yes.
I am
yes.
hanging on every word you publish
yeah.
at Truth Out,
yeah.
waiting
well,
for that shoe to drop. Why don't you tell us your latest speculation?
It's coming quickly. And, you know, I have to say that my reporting differs extensively from that of, you know, the New York Times and the Washington Post.
Right.
I put out a report last week. I've been, you know, let me just remind, I think we spoke about it a month ago, you know, and I'm saying this just in my own defense. I wrote a story. I had... You know, my sources told me that in a month's time that Patrick Fitzgerald would be, you know, putting the finishing touches, preparing the paperwork on the indictment. That was a month. That was a story I wrote on March 28th, and that's exactly what's happening now. So, you know, in my own defense, if things don't work out exactly on the specific day as I predicted, at least is what my sources told me, that's... At least I know I'm on the right track, but that...
Well, it will undermine our vision of you as a wizard of Oz, Jason.
You know, what can I say? you know, God.
All right, first question.
So, well...
Target letter. Has a
yes.
target letter been issued with Karl Rove's name on it?
A target letter has been issued. Despite the denials from Robert Luskin, a target letter was sent. And, you know, this is something that's also very important, which has not received any coverage at all. 3 weeks ago, about three to 4 weeks ago, Patrick Fitzgerald and his staff had met with Karl Rove and Robert Luskin. There was a meeting. They were discussing the fact that Karl Rove was going to return to the grand jury for his fifth appearance, and it had to do with you know some issues about the emails. And the one that has been reported on, that I've reported on, and others as well. But that meeting took place 4 weeks ago. And at the meeting, Patrick Fitzgerald had said that, you know, I'm thinking about indicting Karl Rove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's important about this is that Karl Rove told the White House that, you know, what was happening in terms of, you know, his role in the case and how things were starting to move quickly. And so it is connected to the reshuffling over at the White House. But it hasn't received a lot of attention, but, you know, that's another issue. But
mm-hmm.
right now, from what I understand, from what my sources explained to me, is that the charges have been written up, and they've been under seal. They've... specifically the perjury and lying to investigators.
Mm-hmm.
The outstanding, the thing that's sort of, you know, trying to determine whether or not this will be added will be the, you know, whether or not obstruction of justice is included.
And still the central issue of the leak has not been the subject of an indictment so far. Neither Libby
right.
nor this suspected indictment of Rove
exactly.
includes an indictment for the underlying offenses.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's been enough evidence so far that has sort of, you know, appeared that shows that, you know, the direction that Patrick Fitzgerald is going in is perjury and lying to investigators.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, the just to let you know, the grand jury is meeting tomorrow. Just got the confirmation that they're meeting tomorrow, uh-huh. 9:30 a.m. Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is what they'll be discussing. And
is your bug active there in the grand jury room?
I hope so. I've changed the battery recently, so.
yeah, you don't want one of those bugs that Karl Rove bought and installed in his own office.
But this is, you know, this is coming quickly. I mean, and you know, when I was doing the reporting earlier on, I tried to explain that, you know, Patrick Fitzgerald was juggling many different high profile cases at the time. Yeah. He's got his plate is clear. Karl Rove and others at the White House. I know that the investigation will remain active, you know, after you know, whatever happens with Karl Rove. Mm-hmm. Of course, let's also say, you know, let me say that in a case like this, when you have a high profile you know, criminal case, federal criminal case, anything could happen at the last minute. You know,
well, let's not just talk about profile, let's talk about raw political power.
Right.
Because this White House has not been the least bit shy about using its power, and that's at the core of this case.
That's exactly
right.
They
were trying to slime Joe Wilson, and in order to preserve Karl Rove, you can imagine they'd go to even greater lengths.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But in addition to that, though, what I wanted to say is that, you know, Karl Rove, there at this point, there has been no plea deals, no plea agreements, no offers, at least. That's according to Luskin on the record, his attorney saying that. There's, you know, no offer. Anything can happen at the 11th hour. He may very well decide, okay, I'll testify against everyone and, you know, maybe, possibly given a, you know, is all the charges are dropped. Ultimately, though, the grand jury is the one that has to indict. They have to vote to indict if, you know, when the charges are presented.
Yeah.
And I have to say, though, I mean, I'm only saying that because, again, you know, speak about having a crystal ball. You know, I wish that mine was working today because I tell you exactly when it was going to happen.
Well, get on over to Sharper Image. They'll sell one for under $1,900.
But, you know, from what I understand, the grand jury, you know, shouldn't take more than 3 to 4 hours to deliberate. So, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow.
All right, a quick kind of recap and scenario check here, Jason Leopold. If your information is accurate, the charges have already been written up. They would be presented to the grand jury tomorrow, Wednesday.
Correct.
And then if the grand jury votes to indict, the likely process would be that on Thursday, a news conference would be announced for Friday.
Correct. And the indictment would be held under seal. Giving the media 24 hours notice for a news conference.
So they can get those circus satellite trucks all
exactly.
all parked in front of the courthouse there.
And you know, of course, all eyes are, you know, are on this situation now. But, you know, Robert Luskin had, you know, the statement that he put out last week in with regard to whether or not Karl Rove was a target. You know, this is why it's important to read, you know, press releases or even statements very carefully. He actually said I'm paraphrasing here, but in accordance with this appearance, Karl Rove was told he is not a target. In accordance with this appearance, meaning last week's grand jury appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what,
now,
how do you parse that? What does that mean?
Well, that means that, you know, according to, he could have easily just, he did not put out a blanket statement saying he's not a target.
Right.
That's what has been reported. But there's a prepared press release that he wrote that says, in accordance with yesterday's appearance, meaning last Wednesday, we have been told that Karl Rove is not a target of the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that means is if he was testifying, if he was clarifying his previous testimony specifically about an email or emails, and, you know, that has nothing to do with perjury. That has nothing to do with his previous testimony about, you know, whether he shared Valerie Plame's name about to journalists. So we have to distinguish that. This is his testimony on last week was very specific. It was about the reasons that he did not disclose the email. Why did it take so long? why did it take a year for him to, you know, testify about it? So he very well, you know, could be a target for, you know, which is what my sources indicated, for, you know, perjury and obstruction of justice. He did not go back to the grand jury regarding, I'm sorry, not obstruction of justice, perjury and lying to investigators.
Correct, yeah.
So it's a very complicated case. I mean, it's certainly, you know, in terms of, you know, the legalities around, surrounding this, it's, you know, I know that I've been sort of given a crash course on, you know, on federal law.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very important to, you know, to not just, first of all, Robert Luskin, in and of his own right, is a witness. You know, he has
right.
testified in this case.
Vivica Novak is
right,
the connection.
Right, right. So,
mm-hmm.
I included his statement that he said that he was not a target of last week's appearance, but, you know, I have people saying otherwise.
And you are somewhat alone in that, because most of the mainstream media accounts say that he's not a target.
That's correct. They, in fact, I would say they all say that. And then, of course, you get the sort of strange 2 weeks. We were told that nothing for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Well, where is all this information coming from? There's only one place. It's coming from defense attorneys. Now, you know, in my reporting, I have taken the defense attorneys' statements and put them on the record. But I also go a step further, so I can include other people who are in the know.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, this all has to do with, you know, changing the news cycle as well. And by saying 2 to 3 weeks, well, that gets everyone off the story for 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, and by then, you know, a miracle might happen in Iraq or something like that.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe you bring Tony Snow in and distract everybody.
Right.
We're going to take a break, Jason, and return. If you'd like to talk with Jason Leopold, he's with us till the top of the hour. The Rove case is our focus. You can call us on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792. Toll free from anywhere else within the sound of my voice, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There are many ways fathers are involved in their children's lives. There are stay-at-home dads, working dads, and fathers who are separated from their kids through divorce or other circumstances. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me to discuss the ways fathers stay connected with their children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540 takes a look at the ride home, and we got the very latest from Amy Knight.
A major problem right now on Highway 101 as you're traveling through Chular. The northbound lanes of 101 shut down at Chular. It's an injury accident involving an overturned minivan. All lanes shut down. A medical helicopter has just landed on the freeway.
lanes due to reopen by about 5:10 this afternoon. So again, all lanes shut down. Northbound 101 at Chular, expect delays in both directions as you travel towards Salinas and southbound out of Salinas. Otherwise, no new problems to report on 17 with the exception of some slow traffic on the southbound side coming out of Los Gatos. Highway 1 checks in clear through Monterey. Hurry to Mattress Discounters today and on approved credit, make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, quality brands at discount prices every day. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. I owe you a TomTom. It's the Peter B. Collins Show coming up at the top of next hour. As we launch into the free speech zone, we'll get a report from Washington from Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in D.C. Going to find out more about Duke Cunningham's hookers and the ethics problems of Catherine Harris. That's all coming up about 20 minutes from now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue with Jason Leopold, 24/7. He's working on the Rove investigation, known in the mainstream media as the CIA leak case. He's also the author of a powerful new memoir called News Junkie. Want to recommend it to your attention. Next time you're in a bookstore, go ahead and pick it up. I dare you. John in Humboldt, you're on with Peter B. and Jason Leopold.
Hi, John.
John, we're hanging on every word, but we haven't heard one yet.
You know, I'm happy to see Roe's feet being held to the fire, but what's kind of interesting is normally the right-wing talk programs have, like, an alternate response to everything that's happening, like, that seems to be actually making the Bush administration, liable for the things that they've done. But they've been staying away from this for the last few days. What do you guys make of that?
Well, that's part of, and that's a great question, because that is part of the whole makeover, the extreme makeover of the White House. They really are making it a point to distance themselves from this, not only from Karl Rove and the leak right now. They have to balance this. First of all, if they show before anything happens that, you know, they're pushing him out, well, that's going to result in negative press and speculative reporting, possibly about, you know, does the White House know something? But at the same time, they know that there's, you know, a very good chance that he'll be indicted, and they need to start cutting the cord now. So
I think
these are all signs, in a sense, of what we can expect. And certainly the reshuffling, you know, now that we know that he's had conversations with the special prosecutor and, told the White House about all of this, the timing seems to be exactly that.
Well, and interestingly, Tony Snow's appointment was announced on the day that they were trying to distract us from Karl Rove's next appearance at the grand jury.
Yeah, let's face it. Come on. This is, you know, this White House has certainly has not wasted any time to do what it has to do in terms of whether it's a, there was a point in time when I thought the terror alerts were just coincidental. But they did seem to fall on days when the poll numbers were, you know, plummeting. And, the jury's still out on that. But they certainly seem to, you know, have insight into, you know, what the day's events were going to be, and then circumventing that with their own news announcements.
John,
well,
go ahead.
It kind of seems hard for me to believe that they've actually, you know, found a bit of restraint at this point. They've been absolutely shameless in trying to divert the community's attention away from what's actually happening up to this point. And, you know, it just kind of baffled me, the silence, at least on talk radio. The other thing was, I was in the news, so it was speaking that the more times Rove is called in for further questioning, the more likely it becomes that he's actually going to be charged with something that carries some weight. What do you think about that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the fact that he had gone, this was his fifth appearance, is really unprecedented in a high-profile, white-collar criminal case. I mean, no attorney, and I've actually spoken to some federal prosecutors who told me that, you know, their attorneys would not defense men that their client go before a grand jury this many times because the possibility of the story changing even at that point, you know, because he very well could be charged with perjury. He could.
Well, and it kind of speaks to overconfidence or arrogance in the extreme, where Karl Rove believes that he can smooth this out
exactly.
and talk his way out of it.
But that's exactly it. That's why he went there. This is a last-ditch effort, just as it was last year. And, in fact, there's a Newsweek story that just came out yesterday that said last year, according to their sources, Patrick Fitzgerald had told Robert Luskin, I'm thinking about indicting Karl Rove. That's the words that they use, I'm thinking about. So, you know, and at the 11th hour, he stopped it. He saved Karl Rove from that indictment. And I think that last week's grand jury appearance was the last-ditch effort for, you know, what they both know is going to be the imminent hammer coming down.
John, a final comment from you?
No, that's about it. Thanks for the
call. All right. Thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Now, speaking of pundits, last week I actually emailed you on Thursday, Jason, because Chris Matthews had the night off and Nora O'Donnell was sitting in on the Hardball show on MSNBC, and she kept hammering the story and repeatedly asked subjects she was interviewing if the indictment would come down the next day, last Friday.
Right.
So she seems to, at least indirectly or from confidential sources, have come up with the same level of urgency that you have.
Yeah. Well, what happened, and the reason is because now the grand jury has been meeting. This is a grand jury that was not specifically selected or seated for this case. This is a grand jury that also hears evidence related to other cases. And last week, you know, they had been given the word that they're going to start meeting regularly every Wednesday and Friday, which is the day that's devoted to Karl Rove, or I should say the CIA leak, rather. And last Friday, Patrick Fitzgerald was actually in Chicago, but the grand jury met and witness testimony was read back to them from other prosecutors and FBI investigators. So there is an indication that the reason that something's coming down quickly or there's a sense of urgency is because there's nothing left for Patrick Fitzgerald to actually do. I mean, Karl Rove's testimony, it was, first of all, a 3.5-hour testimony. That's a very long time. And
just to straighten out a couple of key misunderstandings.
Right, exactly. You know, that 1 year gap. So,
I mean, haven't you ever had emails reappear in your account?
You know, I've been trying to see how that trick works, and I just can't seem to, get it to work.
Now, Jason, if this grand jury has very broad mandates, is there any way we could get them to take a look at Rita Cosby?
Oh, my God.
She is so frickin' annoying. I'll tell you, watching her moves me to potential criminal activity.
Yeah, you know, and I was actually probably watching the exact same segment you were watching, and I'm thinking to myself, is this the best that they can do in terms of getting, people to comment on this? I had no idea where she was getting her information from, but, my wife and I now have to buy a new television. It's broken.
Gosh. That's
not enough things to throw.
Yeah.
Well,
there's also, while we're talking about these creatures, the ex-wife of the mayor of San Francisco, Kimberly Guilfoyle Newsom, is on Fox now. And she is not quite as annoying as Cosby because she has a decent voice and she's kind of pretty.
Yes.
But
yeah.
She is as pandering as Greta Van Facelift. And
that's excellent.
And I just think, you know, what's the formula for these shows? We get a crime, and then we just get as grisly as we can, and we pander to the emotional level of couch potatoes.
Exactly. You know, Peter, last week's appearance by Karl Rove, the surprise appearance at the grand jury, called for actually having some real experienced legal analysts, some former federal prosecutors, and we what we got was, like you said, Rita Cosby and Tucker Carlson. Yeah. That is, you know, that's poor news coverage, in my opinion, because this is, you know, this is such an important case.
I almost misheard you there, Jason. I thought you said porno news coverage.
Ah.
And
well,
it does,
you know,
it does revolve around some of the same editorial decisions.
Yes, you know, and that was a Freudian slip, forgive me. But
hey, Jason, we're running low on time here.
Okay.
Stay in touch with us as the story breaks this week. You can pop in. I'm going to give you bulletin authority. At any moment, you call
Fantastic.
Us, we'll put you on the air, and you fill us in.
Well, tomorrow could be a day.
All right. We'll
Take
look
care,
forward
Peter.
To that. Jason Leopold, you got to read his new book, The Memoir News Junkie, and follow his work, his journalism, at truthout.org. The story we've been talking about posted Friday, 28th of April, Fitzgerald to seek indictment of Rove. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan and the Free Speech Zone. Straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
In Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
That I really believe that pagan and the abortionists, the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of that who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at a high level of our government. And so,
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got a good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes.
I'd like to thank Randall and Ann McCoy for sharing with us what happened.
Many of the people in that hearing room today were near tears as family members talked about the Sago coal mine disaster. It was a hearing by mine safety officials, state and federal. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula was there.
Choking back tears and holding pictures of their loved ones, family members of the 12 men killed in the Sago explosion demanded that mines be made safer, that rescue efforts improve, and regulators and lawmakers commit to doing everything to make sure there's never another mine accident in the U.S.
12 men died when natural gas that built up during the holidays was ignited by a lightning discharge just as workers were going back to work. One miner, Randall McCloy, survived. 43 passengers on a Continental Express jet sat through one of the smoothest landings in a long time. The left main gear tires had blown out on takeoff. The pilot flew around, burned off some fuel, and landed like thistledown. Back in Houston. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says next hurricane they'll do things differently.
New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin has a new preparedness and evacuation plan.
We're going to try and get as many people out of the city as possible.
Nagin says if a major storm approaches, there'll be no hurricane shelter of last resort.
We've been working very diligently, have lots of input from the community, and I think we've got a really solid plan.
Nagin says instead of jamming tens of thousands of people into the Superdome or Convention Center and waiting on the feds to come help them, they're going to get everyone out ahead of time on trains and buses. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
In Omaha, Nebraska, 24-year-old Sherman Wade is going to prison for robbing banks. He stuck up five banks in 2004, said he needed the money. The judge sentenced him to 42 years in prison. Can you find Iraq on a map? Can your kids or your parents? An embarrassing new study by National Geographic found 6 out of 10 Americans ages 18 to 24 could not do it.
Places that are well known today in the Middle East, Israel, Iraq, and so on, perhaps only a quarter of young adults can find those places.
John Fahey, president of National Geographic, says a third couldn't even find Louisiana or Mississippi. And worst of all, 70% of the people say that kind of ignorance doesn't really matter. Eugene Palumbo used to be a caddy at Tallgrass Golf Club in Shoreham, New York. He was until he was fired for complaining about harassment. Seems everyone was teasing him without mercy after a woman beat him in golf. Twice. The EEOC says it rose to the level of harassment. The golf club's been told to pay the man $34,000. On Wall Street today, the Dow gained 73 points to close at 11,416. Neil Hawkinson says oil prices boosted the energy stocks.
The fact that there are healthy energy markets means that there's healthy end demand, which is at the end of the day is good for stocks and good for industry.
Oil prices $74.61 a barrel, up 91 cents today. The Nasdaq picked up 5. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
Bet you a dollar if we look on Remax.com, we'll just find Remax listings.
I bet you're wrong.
Okay, let's see. Remax, Remax, somebody else, somebody else.
Looks like all the listings to me.
Why would Remax do that?
To give us consumers what we want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, way cool.
Just like you.
Yeah, thanks, but you still owe me a dollar.
Find your perfect place. It's easier than ever at Remax.com. Nobody sells more real estate than Remax. Each office independently owned and operated.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Mancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now, should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
A middle manager who took it upon himself to give immigrant workers the day off yesterday in Seattle is looking for a job today.
A Seattle restaurant manager who gave all 17 employees the day off for Monday's immigration rights rally figured the owner couldn't fire all of them. He was right. The owner fired the manager, Vance Wolf.
I would do it again exactly the same way. I feel good about it. I'm proud of everybody for, you know, that I worked with, for coming together and supporting one another. You know, there's not a thing I would do differently.
The owner, Victor Santiago, had made it clear he would not close his restaurant. Wolf says the staff has since offered to resign in protest, but Wolf declined their offer. Tim Hake for CBS News, Seattle.
A May-December marriage for the books. The man is 33, the woman, 104. The marriage has taken place in northern Malaysia. It's his first marriage. It's her 21st. And no, he says he didn't marry her for her money because she doesn't have any. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Having a safe place to sleep is a universal need. Having a safe way to sleep should be just as important. When used as directed, Tylenol PM is a safe, non-habit-forming way to relieve pain with sleeplessness. In fact, no other OTC pain reliever is safer than Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM. Take only as directed. If you're taking a pain reliever for your arthritis pain, you could be taking something that may interact with your prescriptions. The pure pain relief of Tylenol Arthritis Pain works all day. And when used as directed, has fewer drug interaction risks than the NSAID Aleve. Stop. Think. Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Works up to 8 hours. Take only as directed.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, now airing on 1240 Talk City in Sacramento. We're heading into the free speech zone. Every day in the last hour of our show, we throw the phone lines wide open for calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You can get on the line now. We'll be going to the call shortly. Toll-free numbers 888-579-2540. On the Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792. And every week about this time, we make room for Melanie Sloan. She's the Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, working on the ethics thing, fighting the corruption thing, and there is never a shortage of tasks on her desk. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks for joining us again today. And people have been watching pretty carefully about Jack Abramoff's comings and goings. He had a posh Passover holiday at the Turnberry Isle Resort and Country Club in Aventura, Florida, where the tab was $3,600 per person for a nine-night stay. And according to the New York Times, somebody else paid for it.
And now we're hearing that the White House has been ordered to release its Secret Service logs showing how often Jack Abramoff visited the White House. Now, the last time we looked at these logs was around the time Jeff Gannon was exposed, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. But now judicial... A conservative organization submitted a Freedom of Information Act request, and so did my organization, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. But they submitted theirs first, and then when the Secret Service didn't hand over those records because the White House didn't want them to, Judicial Watch sued for them. And now a federal judge has ordered that the Secret Service must turn over all of those records by May 10th.
And this Judicial Watch, if I'm remembering correctly, didn't they sue to get the records from the Clinton White House over Monica Lewinsky's visits?
Oh, they sued the Clinton White House about 80 times.
I see.
So, yes, they did, in fact, sue for those. But and they are very conservative, although I will give them credit. They also sued for records that, along with the Sierra Club, mm-hmm. to try and get records regarding the Energy Task Force meetings, and ultimately they lost in the Supreme Court on that.
Yeah. Well, and it does seem that party loyalty is declining on the Republican side. There was a guy on The Daily Show last night being interviewed by Jon Stewart, who's written a book critical of the K Street Project, and he's a young young reporter who writes for the Weekly Standard, the conservative weekly funded by Rupert Murdoch.
Yes, I've heard about that book, and I think the Jack Abramoff scandal and the things that Duke Cunningham did, I mean, true conservatives find that stuff pretty appalling.
Yeah.
I mean, as really any person of any political stripe who really has ethics would find these kind of behaviors, you know, pretty outrageous.
Right.
I don't think you have to be a liberal or conservative, I guess I'm saying there.
And the Dukester is safely behind bars, but it was we had further revelations last week regarding some of his shenanigans, and it appears that he may have taken trips to the old Watergate that goes back to the Nixon era as a famous Washington landmark, where there was a hospitality suite with some young ladies. Do we go as far as to assert that they were hookers?
We do go that far. In fact, yes, they were hookers, because we know this because Mitchell Wade, who has also pleaded guilty in the Duke Cunningham scandal, a former defense contractor, has said that Brent Wilkes, another defense contractor who also was named as a so far unindicted co-conspirator in the Cunningham case, was plying Cunningham with these prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, according to Mitchell Wade, Brent Wilkes may have been plying other members of Congress with prostitutes as well, but those are so far unnamed.
And do we know anything more about this hospitality suite at the Watergate? Because I've heard it mentioned in reference to a number of different Republican officials who are under ethics watches right now.
Well, the only other thing we know is it seems to be paid for by defense contractors, and that members could come and go, and that there were also poker games there.
And I'm not going to get picky with the phrases you just used, but if people heard them, they might be amused. anything else that has surfaced relating to Mitchell Wade and his cronies?
Well, the other thing that has become news is about the $2,800 dinner that Mitchell Wade took Catherine Harris, representative from Florida, out for. She's running for Senate in Florida. $2,800 dinner at Citronelle, one of the most expensive restaurants in Washington, but still $2,800 for a dinner for two really adds up. And I believe they think that Mitchell Wade's favorite wine was $1,000 a bottle. But Catherine Harris's response was first, I paid the restaurant back, but that's impossible to do since the bill was paid and the restaurant wasn't owed any money. And then she tried to say, well, she didn't really eat much. But the interesting thing about this is, they have this dinner, and then she agrees shortly after the dinner to try and get a counterintelligence Navy program funded for aid in her district.
Ah, there's the quid, the pro, and the possible quo.
That's right. So the Justice Department's looking at that, too.
Mm-hmm. And Catherine Harris seems to be vulnerable from all sides, because the appearance is that the Republicans in Florida, led by Jeb Bush, don't think much of her prospects up against Bill Nelson this fall. And it even seems like Jeb himself might step in there. Now, that's not an ethical question, but, you know, from what you know, is it Republicans who are bringing up these issues about Catherine Harris?
You know, the really interesting thing here is that the person who first talked about the $2,800 dinner was her former political consultant, Ed Rollins. Ed Rollins is a really well-known Republican political consultant.
Sure.
And he would never have done this, frankly, unless he had a party approval. Mm-hmm. He would never have sold out another a Republican member of Congress because he would have been afraid he might never work again unless there was some kind of tacit, at least tacit, understanding that this was going to be okay. So I think Catherine Harris has pretty much been sold down the river. And this has been the gift to Ben Nelson, who originally thought he'd have a tough race, and he's now ahead in double digits.
Well, we got to get our Nelson straight. Ben Nelson is from the Western states. Bill Nelson is
Sorry, Bill Nelson.
I couldn't even remember his name last week. I was thinking of his face, but it finally came to me. He's not faceless, but he doesn't stand out.
Right.
I'll say that. Now, I'm looking at the crew website today, and if people want to visit Citizens for Ethics, F-O-R, citizensforethics.org, and we've talked before about Richard Berman, the anti-union lobbyist who set up one of these phony nonprofits or a PR shop, and you've now filed a suit against him. Tell us about that.
Well, we've actually filed a suit against the Department of Labor over him. What happened is that there was an article in the Washington Post indicating that that there had been email exchanges in the Department of Labor encouraging people to look at the Center for Union Facts website and advocating it. And it's funny that of all places the Department of Labor would be advocating this because the Center for Union Facts sort of doesn't contain facts and it's incredibly anti-union. The whole premise of it is to be anti-union, yet here's the Department of Labor telling its employees, oh, you should visit this site. This is great.
Well,
so we thought, well, what else is the Department of Labor doing with that site? And how much did they have to do with putting it together? And are they working with Richard Berman? We'd like to know.
Yeah. And I'll be the opinionated one here, but under Elaine Chao, who is Mrs. Mitch McConnell, the wife of the senator from Kentucky, the Department of Labor is pretty strongly anti-union. And they, of course, issued the workplace advisories a couple of years ago to help employers avoid paying overtime to their employees. That's the Department of Labor, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. And, you know, I have nothing kind to say about Ms. Chao. It is a horrible department, and it sort of does exactly what you wouldn't think the Department of Labor would be doing. Instead of actually trying to help American workers, it's hurting them. But I think that people would be interested to know exactly how much they've been working with Richard Berman, who, as we've talked about before, is an incredibly sleazy human being. It's not his only organization. He has another one called the Center for Consumer Freedom, which has been behind ads attacking obesity, saying it's not really a problem. He's also got an organization that is criticizes Mothers Against Drunk Driving that he does on behalf of the alcohol industry. And he runs something else called the Employment Policies Institute, which criticizes the minimum wage as sort of anti-American. So he's just got all of these organizations, and the thing about them is they're all these 501c3 organizations, which means they're charitable, and people get tax deductions for giving to them. So they're funded by big businesses who are like the alcohol industry, who want a higher blood alcohol limit, and yet they get a tax deduction for funding this stuff.
Oh, that's the American way.
Right.
Have you seen the new film, Thank You for Smoking?
I have. It's hysterical.
Yeah. And, you know, as you describe Richard Berman, he should be at that weekly meeting of the Merchants of Death.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he was the model for the main character.
Melanie, we'll talk again next week. Thanks for your good work.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Melanie Sloan, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or Crew, if you prefer. Next, we open up the phone lines to hear from you. I'd like to know your reaction to yesterday's Primero de Mayo, immigrant rights in general. I've got a couple of critical emails I'm going to read for you, and then I want to hear from you, pro or con. There's no wrong answer here on the Peter B. Collins Show, because I'm always right. 831-899-5792. Lines are open on the Central Coast. The toll-free switchboard's available, too. 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Straight through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Blogger. KRXA 540 checking traffic again. It's 520. Some surprises out there. Here's Amy Knight.
Several new problems. South 17 at the Redwood Estates. A new injury accident with a solo car facing the wrong way. Traffic backed up from Highway 85. Also, Highway 1 at Pajaro. We're getting reports of an injury crash with fire crews on scene. SoCal San Jose Road at SoCal Drive. A big rig stuck in the middle of the roadway. And much better news for Chular. It's northbound 101 at the Chular exit. An earlier accident with an overturned minivan has been cleared. The medical helicopter has left the scene. All lanes now open, but unfortunately, traffic backed up into Gonzales. Jumpstart your career at HelloCareers.com. HelloCareers.com is the Bay Area's newest job board with thousands of open positions. Visit HelloCareers.com today. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back in about a half an hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad to have you listening. We're now in the free speech zone, and your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines open for you right now, Central Coast, local call at 831-899-5792, or toll free from elsewhere, 888-579-2540. And my impression is that many Latinos and other immigrants were energized and felt a power of collectivism from the million or more people who marched in various cities around the U.S. yesterday. And my equal impression is that many Anglos, let's call them gringos, have simply gotten more angry, more pissed off, and hardened their positions. And I have to say, as one of those Anglos who's probably perceived as a gringo by some, that I'm really offended by the patronizing, paternalistic coverage that the Anglo corporate media in this country has provided of the events yesterday. Because I think there's a lot of unfairness in the way the events have been described and put into a certain white boy context. And specifically, the San Francisco Chronicle today divided its coverage on the front page into one that was just kind of a feature piece about the various protests and protesters who were out yesterday, and the other was more of a think piece asking if this is going to backfire. And I find that amusing and infuriating at the same time. Because where the hell do these white American leaders and opinion leaders get off in trying to define the issues, define success or failure, and in fact trying to define the motives of the people who marched yesterday? If there were a million people, there were a million different motivations to take the day off work, take the kids out of school, and go show up in a public place. Yet the media tries to pigeonhole everybody and say, well, they want everything. They want total amnesty, and these are the answer people. And in my view, this surge of political activism by immigrants, including many Latinos in this country, is a real American thing. They are exercising the rights that they either have or hope for by going to the streets and expressing themselves in the manner that they did. And so what will the net effect be? We won't know for 10 or 15 years. If this becomes an annual event and people find their voice, it could be very positive. And at minimum, I think it was a shot across the bow of the Republican ship saying, don't do another 187 because it will bite you politically. So I'd like to hear from you. Did yesterday change anything in your view? First up, Gilbert in Salinas. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, Gilbert, I hate it when people say that. Thank you for calling. Muchísimas gracias.
Well, I would like to bring a couple of points across that I have heard a lot of talk in the talk shows, and I know it's managed and talked about by the white American point of view, and not many immigrants like me mm-hmm. called to talk exactly about the reasons why we're here, what motivates us to come is not the health care system, is not the public services, is the jobs. And I understand that we put a burden, especially at the beginning when we get the low paid jobs, we put a burden on the middle class workers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's unfair to, you know, call us the people or the group responsible for everything that is happening right now. Those people that benefit from our cheap labor and hard work should be probably taxed heavier to compensate for that burden that is put on the middle-class people that also earn their money working hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand those points of view.
Well, Gilbert, let me read you a couple of lines here from an email. It's a guy who lives in Salinas who I've met. He's a regular listener to our program and in general, a progressive guy, but he's very worked up. He's angry about these issues, and in my view, he is a victim of the intentional divide-and-conquer strategy of the far right in this country. And I believe that their intention is to divide workers of various types so that we fight each other instead of taking on the employers. But here's what he says. These illegal immigrants, now he goes into capital letters, are killing the blue-collar worker, damn it. And I don't agree with that. It's not any immigrant individual who is killing any naturalized American worker. the dynamic is really at a much higher level. And it's the corporate titans who determine, you know, what the wage levels are, whether they'll permit us to unionize. And I think they are driving this divisive strategy. What's your opinion?
Of course. You think that we have a better shot at those jobs if the white Americans wanted their jobs? We crossing the border, not speaking the language, would be higher before if somebody else with, you know, a little more knowledge of what they're doing applies for the job. Mm-hmm. We're not taking their jobs. I'm sure that, you know, we struggle very hard to make it here. We don't think, and I'm telling you, I was raised in Mexico until I was 18 years old. I had a full-time job before I left, and I have tried to enculture myself here, and I can tell you I somewhat understand both worlds.
Mm-hmm. Gilbert, I got to take a break here, and I can't change the clock. So mm-hmm. Can you hold on a few minutes? I can tell you have more to say, and I'd like to hear it.
Yes, I can.
All right. Stay with us. That's Gilbert in Salinas. You can join us, too. 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. On the web, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There are many ways fathers are involved in their children's lives. There are stay-at-home dads, working dads, and fathers who are separated from their kids through divorce or other circumstances. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me to discuss the ways fathers stay connected with their children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, now on the air in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City. We're barreling through the free speech zone here this afternoon. I'm your humble host, Peter B. And for our new listeners in Phoenix and Sacramento, you're hearing the free speech zone in the evening on a delayed basis. If you'd like to participate, I invite you to call us between 5 and 6 p.m. weekdays Pacific time. And the toll-free number is 888-579-2540. You can also get that information at peterbcollins.com. And we're taking your calls. Gilbert in Salinas is kind enough to hold over through the break. Thank you there, Gilbert.
You're welcome.
And let me read you one other email from an angry Anglo. This comes from Al in Eureka or Arcata. And he's really hung up on this whole idea of legal versus illegal, and this is very common among angry Anglos in this country who are worked up on the immigration issue. He says, America welcomes all legal immigrants. It's complete BS of illegals demanding work and services from Americans. Why do you think every country in the world has borders? There's a reason. Hundreds of millions of others around the world want to come here. Let them all in and demand citizenship. Maybe a billion people want to come here to work. Let them all in and demand citizenship. F it that illegals are breaking unions, lowering wages, and are a huge burden to our social structure and environment. So what? That's what the corporations and Republicans love about it. As long as they come illegally to work and demand citizenship, that's fine. BS, he says. Even the great Cesar Chavez was against illegal immigration. When Chavez was trying to form a union among legal immigrant farm workers here, the corporations were encouraging and hiring illegals for less money to break the union. Illegals do not help the legal immigrants or the American workers, and it is indeed a slap in the face to all those who work so hard to become legal American immigrants. Well, Gilbert, I take it you're now a legal American. Tell me what your thoughts are about this very emotional expression from this man.
Yeah, I understand his point. I am actually a naturalized citizen.
Mm-hmm.
The Mexican worker does not see it so black and white as legal or illegal. When you know in Mexico that there's opportunity to come and or other country, El Salvador or any other country in Latin America, but I say Mexico, where the we're the close neighbors and easy mm-hmm. easier to come in.
Right.
When you come, you don't think they're going to think of yourself so badly because you crossed illegally. You think that they're going to appreciate your work, that you're going to get paid a decent salary and you're going to help your family. Once you're here, you realize that there are certain, you know, group of people that think of you this other way.
Mm-hmm.
If given the opportunity, everyone would like to be legal. What would be the best way to legalize the workers that are needed?
Well, and here's my point, Gilbert, that there are too many Americans who reduce this to such simple terms.
Exactly.
That you're either legal or illegal. Well, many of the people who are here on an undocumented basis, as you just pointed out, would prefer to be legal, either as a guest worker or with a green card or on a track to full American citizenship.
Exactly.
We don't make it easy, and a lot of Americans assume that regardless of how difficult the path to citizenship is, that there's only one way, and that's how it ought to be. and we do not accept responsibility for our own failures to secure the border, our own failures to punish employers who hire illegals on a very obvious and widespread basis. And so a lot of the responsibility, in my view, lies with Americans and our leaders, and we're blaming undocumented people who are often poorly educated and have no way of really fighting back on an equal basis.
Yeah, let me get a little political here. When there's an election year, the Republican Party not having a sound domestic agenda plays on the fear of the majority of the people, you know, the middle class workers, one way or another. Sometimes it's the anti-abortionists, sometimes the gay people.
Mm-hmm.
This time is our turn. They have nothing else good to say about, you know, domestic issues, so they play on the fear of the border.
Right.
And they make this sound like we are the evil of everything in the United States.
Well, and this pattern has repeated itself over generations in the United States.
Exactly.
100 years ago, it was the Chinese and my people, the Irish, who
exactly.
were considered on the lowest rung of American immigration and treated like dirt.
Yeah, I don't know how much airtime you're going to give me, but I would like to leave everyone with a thought.
Go right ahead, Gilbert.
The reason why we're here is because we have a grotesque economic redistribution. The wealth is there in Mexico. Mexico is the ninth largest economy in the world, just topped by a few West European countries, the United States, Canada, and Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The money is in a very few hands. And if there is 20 more years of the kind of government that we have right now here in the United States, don't be surprised that your youth will be looking for jobs in Europe. When the money goes to fewer hands, when the middle class is killed, this is what happens.
Gilbert,
I
need to move along because the switchboard is jammed, but I really thank you for your honest and powerful comments today.
Okay, thanks for giving me some time in the air.
Great to have you listening. Billy in Capitola, thanks for holding. You're next.
Hi.
Hi, Billy.
So, you know, sometimes I have, like, pithy little, sharp, little, angry little things to say, and then sometimes I have these big ideas that it's hard to get out in one call. I'm going to continue from yesterday.
Go ahead.
So, you know, it's one of the things you've heard me talk about in the past is I've objected to high-level corporate salaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't complain about corporations. I just complain about the executive class.
Yeah.
And I've discussed with you how around Reagan time we saw that executives got between, like, 12 and 25 times what the typical worker got, and today it's 500 times.
Right, yeah.
I'd like to talk about how that happened for a second. You know what? It used to be that men worked. And when men worked, they worked with other men. And you know what? They used to take three martini lunches. Remember that phrase?
Mm-hmm.
And that went away. And I tell you why that went away. Because women came into the workforce. And men were not about to share with women equally the fruits of work. So it no longer became an easy place to hang around, and if you took a long lunch, that was fine. It became a grind where the women are worked hard, and so the men are worked hard. And the men at the very top, they take their specialness through the cash that they won't share with the typical employee, who now are women, Mexicans. So it's about the pay levels. And now I take you to Congress. And when Congress doesn't vote for decent minimum wages, what happens is you get this situation where people say, well, they're doing work no American will do. And as we all know, the fact is that half the sentence is missing because it's at that wage.
Right.
And this is all mixed up together in how we, you know, what the social fabric is. And as our last caller so pointedly pointed out, was that, you know, the middle class is going away.
Mm-hmm.
So people power is real important. And the next time we talk, I want to talk about how, you know, these demonstrations, how we could turn this into something to fight back against the oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we know, we can't do without oil. We have to have gas. These people need to put gas in their cars to get to work. But what we could do is we could pick one company to boycott.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about that more later. I know you've got more calls, so I don't want to go into it now. I want to use that as a teaser. And here's my question I want everyone to think about, because I don't know the answer to this. Do we boycott the strongest company, the biggest company, ExxonMobil, mm-hmm. or the weakest of the majors? And I haven't been able to figure out the game theory on that and what works best.
All right. I will ponder that, and next time you call, I'll try to drum up an answer.
Thank you, friends.
Thank you, Billy. Ed in Aptos, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Ed.
Hi. I like to congratulate Gilbert. I think that, yesterday I mentioned it, and I heard last night on Late Night Talk Show about, the abysmal performance of Mexico. And a corollary to that is I've heard that they're very brutal with people trying to come in on their southern border, that, they do nothing to, in fact, they probably encourage because of the vast flow of money into their coffers from the United States, from all the people that are up here working and sending money home.
Well, I think that in some ways Americans kind of make judgments about Mexican policy, and I am not an expert on Mexican politics, but I do know enough that it was under one party very repressive and extractive or, what's the right term, manipulative control for a long time. Vicente Fox has been trying to make changes, but it's not easy. And I think that there are some things that occur that, we draw conclusions about. And I think Mexico is as conflicted and has a hard time with these issues because, on the one hand, they know that a lot of their males are working in the United States and separated from their families. As you pointed out, they know that a lot of cash comes through over the Western Union wire, which no longer does telegrams. They just transfer money and some competing services. So it is a complex picture, and what you've said is true based on the facts. What I can't say is if it is intentional or if it's just part of the mess that is the government of Mexico. I'm sorry, Ed. I can't hear you. Go ahead.
I'm not conversant with, with the politics down there. What I would like to see these people there is get involved. If they're sending money down there, money's the mother's milk of politics. Get down there and make your money talk, and and get the people organized down there, and get their country organized and squared away, so we can have a place that you can take your pick. We're living in Canada, Mexico, or the United States, but all be the same.
Well, Ed, I want to single out you and Dave from the Pinnacles, because of all the angles that you could take on this issue, the two of you have looked at the underlying issues of the economy of Mexico, the politics of Mexico, and I think that's an important element of this debate. And we have people standing up in Washington and strutting with all this right-wing rhetoric, assuming that we can manage this problem simply by passing laws, militarizing the border, and deporting 11 million people. And that's a big old crock. We need to look at the more complex, nuanced issues and try to come up with a truly comprehensive approach to them.
Two things. One's off topic, but the last time they collected any money from employers for hiring illegal aliens was during the Clinton years. I mean, the Bush administration,
Well, they did recently crack down. They cracked down on the pallet company in Texas that is owned by a Dutch company. That's what they chose to do.
Kind of off topic, but at the convention, I heard one of our friends from Crawford was there, and she said that she was. We became friendly with the police force there. There's three policemen in Crawford,
uh-huh.
But she said that. She was rearrested Easter week or whenever they had there. She's known as Prairie Dog 19.
Uh-huh.
She was the 19th one arrested there.
Okay, go ahead and complete your point. I got to go to a break, Ed. Go ahead.
Anyhow, she said that this guy, this policeman's been offered $180,000 to go over to Afghanistan to teach. And I wondered if other small police departments are being raided in this manner.
Interesting. First I've heard of it. We'll check it out. Thanks, Ed. More of your calls coming up right after a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We're going. Tom Hartman.
Essentially, ethnic redistribution is happening right now as we speak. The Shia are moving out of the predominantly Sunni neighborhoods, moving into the Shia neighborhoods, and the Sunnis are moving out of the predominantly Shia neighborhoods into the Sunni neighborhoods. People are swapping houses.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And this is what we saw in the Balkans. This is what we saw in Lebanon. This is what happens when civil war happens. And the civil war, I would suggest to you, is already well underway.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540, taking one more look at your traffic this afternoon. Here's Amy Knight.
It's still very busy. North 101 south of Canal Street, an accident reported there. An earlier crash, North 101 at Chular, has been cleared, but slow traffic still coming out of Gonzales. Highway 1 at Pajaro Road, we have an injury crash off to the shoulder. You'll find crews on scene there. And Soquel San Jose Road at Soquel Drive, a big rig still stuck in the middle of the roadway. South 17 at the Redwood Estates, a two-car collision in the final clearing, but traffic still backed up from before the Lexington Reservoir. It's time for Sears Days, where you can find the lowest prices of the season. This week at Sears, where spring changes everything. Sale ends 5606. Have a safe drive home. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Amy. There goes your other phone.
Thanks.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch here in the free speech zone today. Yeah, there is an F-bomb coming up, and we got out of the way in time. Thank you, Matt, for that reminder. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. That's Michael Fronte and Spearhead, a thing called Rock the Nation. And I think Latinos and others who were out yesterday did rock the nation. And I think we'll see that in the near future and probably over the next 5 years as well. A tolerant guy, Eric, emails, you know, all borders are artificial anyway. Let people exist with dignity wherever they must go to try and make their lives better. That's from Eric. Thanks, Eric. I got your earlier email, too, about the court packing and appreciated your comment. Also, just a quick tip. Tomorrow, Larissa Alexandrovna will be on with us in this third hour of the program, or maybe in the second hour. I'm not sure yet. But she has told us about a story that has now been confirmed by the corporate media, and that is that when the Bush White House outed Valerie Plame, they also did major damage to her non-official cover operation, which was intended to monitor the distribution and acquisition of weapons of mass destruction by Iran. And MSNBC's David Schuster confirms this report tonight, apparently without crediting Larissa. We'll talk with her about that tomorrow, and I hope you'll be able to tune in then here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And let me look at my list here. We've been a little busy here. Paula in Marina, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Peter. I want to thank you for having this on the air, and this station is great. I have a couple of points, and one is that I really want to encourage people to look into the complexity of this. It's all too many people that I've talked to have knee-jerk reactions to this, most of them bad, most of them white, and I think they're mostly, based in ignorance and in racism. And the issues having to do with the economy of Mexico are very important in this.
Yeah.
And the oil economy there, the concentration of wealth in a few people's hands, those are really very important. It's very disturbing to me. I work in Santa Cruz County to talk with coworkers who are angry about this. I believe that this administration is actually thrilled that this anger is coming out. I think they're encouraging it. I think they're firing up their own component of their own base on this. As one of your other callers mentioned before the election, and I also think that it's a great distraction for them. It distracts the public from the issues of Iraq and Iran and things like that they're going on. So I think they see a great benefit to this, and it's unfortunate that people's lives are used to manipulate what certain politicians in this administration wants. But I really, when people ask me questions about this, my answer is almost always that I don't know enough about it, and I want to understand more. And that's what people should be doing with this experience. That's what all people should be getting from this march, not just those people that went out and marched, but other people should be encouraged to look more deeply into this and look at what the real issues are that underlies what's going on in Mexico. And as this email just stated, that the borders are false, particularly here in California. I mean, you have to remember, it was not much more than 100 and so many years ago that this was Mexico. And so it's very hard on me to hear people, characterize these as illegal aliens. It's just very difficult to hear that.
And the other thing that I find so trivial and distracting is, over the weekend, some music producers released a Spanish interpretation of our national anthem. And the president has deplored it. And I was listening to KGO this morning, and a guy called up, and, he just was so angry about this. And it's, why?
It draws out from people the worst.
Why do people think that the national anthem is sacrosanct? It's a song. We stole it from the Europeans. We applied our own lyrics to it, and now
it's not even a good national anthem. It's talking about war and bombs exploding and all sorts of other wonderful things.
I won't go there because I know some people who love it deeply, and they're entitled to do that. But there's no rule that says that somebody can't do a different version of that, even in a different language. And it's just a red herring that people seize on because they really can't deal with the complexities that you just described. Paula,
right.
Thanks a lot. Let me jump to Chris and Gonzalez. Thanks for holding on, Chris. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, it's actually Jose, not Chris, but that's okay.
Hello, Jose.
Listen, I wanted to comment a little bit. I'm glad Paula made those comments. Gilbert and the other folks have begun to paint the picture as a little bit more complex, which that's the reality. When you look at Mexico, part of what has occurred since NAFTA passed is that multinational corporations, primarily based here in the U.S., are displacing a lot of the small farmers and small businesses that used to, at one point, be able to support a family, whether it was a nuclear family or somewhat of an extended family. Many of those are no longer in existence anymore. So what you've got is, again, pressures there that are creating a worst-case scenario there, and, jobs, blue-collar jobs from the U.S., disappearing to Mexico as well as to other places.
Well, and not only that, Jose, but the maquiladoras that were set up, some before, but many after NAFTA, have declined sharply because those same multinational employers found cheaper labor in China.
That's right. In fact, one of the phenomena that was occurring in Juarez, which is on the northern part of Mexico, bordering Texas, is that there was actually a huge influx of women, because what the maquiladoras were doing was hiring single women,
right,
first and foremost, as the primary workforce, not hiring men. So what would happen is they would come from other regions, they would end up working for a couple of years, get hurt, or end up getting married or pregnant,
they leave the workforce and a new influx comes in. So they were just exacerbating the problem by attracting a flood of people to the border.
Yeah. Yeah. Jose, I'd love to talk with you further. I got a bunch of other callers. I'm not going to get to them all, but thank you for joining us today, and call me again. I'd love to talk with you further. Allison Humboldt, you're always good for a quick one. Hello, Alice.
Oh, Peter, I haven't talked to you for a while.
I know
how busy you are.
Well, I've got a minute and a half, Alice. Give us your best shot.
I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate your program. Keep up the good work.
Okay. I sure will. I love you, Alice.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right, Jake, you get a minute then. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Peter B.
Hi.
Hey, you know, like you said, Prop 187 is really the parallel here. 12 years ago in California, it seems we were setting the stage for the rest of the country. Now we have James Sensenbrenner, the Republican House member from Wisconsin, who's introduced legislation to make felons out of immigrants who are undocumented, clearly targeting immigrants and their families. You know, we could break up, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of families with a law like that. That's why people are out in the streets. They don't want to be targeted by the Republican Party anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're saying is absolutely right on. I think that a lot of this knee-jerk racist reaction is only temporary. I think when people come to the realization that 12 million people who are undocumented are going to be staying here, they're not being sent back. There's not going to be a Berlin Wall built on the southern border, people.
Right.
Wake up. We need to make citizens out of these people. We need to do what we can to make this the best country we can. And this racist reaction from the Republican Party is doing nobody any good, least of all
the
Republicans.
Thank you, Jake. This is Peter B. Collins. We'll do this again tomorrow. I hope you'll join me.
Happy trails. Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The government has to plan for all levels of a bird flu outbreak, all the way to a pandemic. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod gets an early look at some of the new plan.
In the doomsday version, which the White House stresses is unlikely, as many as 2 million Americans could die, and 40% of the workforce would be sidelined, crippling the U.S. economy. The National Guard would be deployed to keep order and deliver medicines. The White House will roll out its plan to deal with these kinds of catastrophic possibilities. Suggestions range from companies spacing workers at least 3 feet apart, colleges designating quarantine dormitories, and airline crews required to carry masks for coughing passengers.
Chasing the terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and almost catching him.
The hunt for Zarqawi has now eclipsed in size the hunt for Osama bin Laden.
That's CBS's David Martin.
The assault on Zarqawi's network is being conducted by a secret unit known as Task Force 145, divided into four teams, three American and one British, which conduct raids virtually every night. One measure of its intensity, at least seven members of the elite Delta Force have been killed so far.
The force is being expanded with commandos from the 82nd Airborne. An Armenian Airlines plane has gone off the radar on a flight to the Black Sea resort of Sochi. 100 people on that plane. Sky News says it does not look good.
Around 100 people were on board the plane, and it was spotted in the debris was spotted in the Black Sea area, which is around 6 kilometers or 4 miles from the shore.
Suspicions are, of course, that the plane may have crashed into the Black Sea. No word what may have brought it down. In Buchanan, West Virginia, mine safety officials held a hearing to talk about Sago.
People's lives have been changed forever because of what's happened.
And you can't let this happen again. No one needs to go through this ever again.
Family members spoke. Emotions still right at the surface. CBS's Jim Crisula was there.
Family members have had a chance here today to talk to executives of the company that owns the Sago mine. They've also had a chance to talk with industry safety experts. And one of the big questions is what kind of safety equipment did their loved ones have in that mine at the time of the explosion?
The new evacuation plan.